Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Dear listening friend, it is appropriate that we make extensive study of the Holy Spirit as revealed to us in the Word of God. And we have had presented several lessons, have we not, concerning the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Holy Spirit as a person, one of the three persons in the Godhead or deity. We talked about the relationship of the Bible and the Holy Spirit and how that the Bible, the Word of God, has been given to us through the operation of the Holy Spirit inspiring men to write. We have studied the relationship of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the measures of the Spirit, how that Christ had the Holy Spirit without measure, the baptismal measure upon the apostles, the measure of the miraculous that some could perform by the laying on of apostolic hands. And we've talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the Christian even today, even as the Father dwells in us and the Son dwells in us. And we need to talk about how that some, however, are against the Spirit. Whatever is included in being against the Holy Spirit, it is certainly spiritually disastrous. But we read of people in the Scripture of resisting the Spirit, lying to the Spirit, defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit, despising the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit, blaspheming the Spirit. Why, these fall into the category of being against the Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen charged his Jewish hearers with resisting the Holy Spirit like their Israelite forefathers had done. And how had the forefathers resisted the Holy Spirit? Why, it was by refusing to heed the message of God as was proclaimed by God's prophets. The prophets were directed in their preaching and their warning by the Spirit. Such was also recorded in Nehemiah 9 and verse 30. To refuse the message was to resist the Spirit. Making this charge led to the stoning of Stephen. But even today, when people resist God's message from His inspired Word, the Bible, which is given by and through the Holy Spirit, they're also guilty of resisting the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold property and gave a portion of the proceeds to the apostles for the work. Their sin was pretending to have given all and lying about what they did. Lying, of course, is the very opposite of truth, and diametrically opposed to deity and everything for which deity stands. So abominable is lying that liars are said to be among those who will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, the second death, Revelation 20 and verse 8. Peter said Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Spirit. Friend, that is such a serious matter. Man sometimes does not realize the seriousness of sin. When one lies, he lies to more than just his fellow man, but he also lies to God. Every sin is against God, and lying in this instance is said to be a sin against the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17, and then again in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, when we study these passages, we're no longer made to wonder why faithful gospel preachers have and continue to preach against drinking alcoholic beverages, smoking, overeating, fornication, and other abuses of the body, often committed by evil behavior and bad habits. Christians realize that their body belongs to God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not our own, but we've been bought with a price, the blood of Christ. We have no right to defile the body because it is said to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the temple in the Old Testament was a sacred building, the dwelling place of deity. To defile the temple was a grievous sin and brought God's wrath upon the violator. In Jesus' day, on two occasions, He drove those out who made the Father's house a den of robbers. They were defiling the temple. God now dwells not in temples made with hands, but in His people, in the church, His body. You are a part of that body. Your very body, therefore, is said to be the temple of deity. And as one follows the word, deity dwells in him. Deity is no less displeased now than back then when people defile the body. To do so is to sin against the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 29, here we read of despising the Holy Spirit. The word despise means to insult or treat with contempt. And how does one do such a thing toward the third person of the Godhead? Friend, it is by falling away from the truth, having once accepted it. Hebrews was written to forestall apostasy or departing from the faith. To become a Christian and then to fall away into unfaithfulness, for whatever reason or excuse, is said to be the same as trampling underfoot the saving and sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ. Now, people were sorely punished for violating the law of Moses. How much worse it is to turn from the salvation given by Jesus, God's Son. When we consider how the Lord looked upon unfaithfulness, we are made to see how important it is for us to be faithful. To turn back to the lost state from which we have come is said to treat the Holy Spirit with insult and contempt. Is not that to be against the Spirit? In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, we read about grieving the Holy Spirit. Now notice the sins in the context of Ephesians 4. There are sins of doing what ought not be done. There are sins of failing to do what ought to be done. Lying, losing the temper, holding grudges, letting the devil have his way in our life, stealing, refusing to work, refusing to give to the needy, evil language, neglecting to teach, holding wrath and bitterness in the heart, failing to be kind, failing to be forgiving, failing to be tender-hearted, all of these things are listed. And just as you may grieve over that which is contrary to your desires, so these things are contrary to the Spirit's message and brings grief to the Holy Spirit when people commend them. Why, this is the way that we grieve the Holy Spirit, by committing sin. This is to be against the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 19, we're admonished, quench not the Spirit. Now the figure here implies that the Holy Spirit is like a fire, and lights the fire of goodness in our hearts and in our lives. When one is so ignited, he has a burning zeal to do the Lord's will. He has a passion for doing right. And to prevent the Holy Spirit from igniting this fire for righteousness within us would be to quench the Spirit. To discourage and to hinder or to otherwise block the spread of God's word or of doing good works authorized of God is like pouring water on a fire and quenching its power. People sometimes throw cold water, if you please, on first one good work and then another. We must be careful lest we become guilty of quenching something that the Holy Spirit takes delight in igniting. Now the Holy Spirit ignites by and through the Word. Therefore we need to learn the Word and to apply it, lest we quench it and thereby quench the Holy Spirit. The way one does quench the Spirit is to pour cold water on the Word of God, that it will not lead us to do the things that we ought. And once again we read in Matthew 12:31 about blaspheming the Spirit. Now the sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a much disputed matter. It is sometimes called the unpardonable sin. Friend, we deny that there is even such a thing as an unpardonable sin once the conditions of forgiveness are given, but let us proceed. Blasphemy is a sin seen throughout the history of the human race toward deity. It would be naive to suggest that the identification of this sin is as simple as some would contend, because honest and well-informed and good men often differ in their view as to what this sin is. And as with other matters of revelation where the revelation is scarce, it's unbecoming to be overly dogmatic in conclusions drawn regarding the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. There are some things, however, about it that we can know for certain. We're taught many times that Christ came to save mankind from all sin. His blood can wash away any and all sins, provided one meets the terms of forgiveness and obeys the conditions. Any sin becomes unpardonable if and when one ignores God's plan. We believe this is the teaching of 1 John 5 and verse 16 regarding the sin which is not unto death and the sin which is unto death. This is not the same as the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Some say the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was giving the devil credit for the miracles Jesus performed. Well, certainly to do that would be a vicious attack against Christ and the Holy Spirit. But we're not convinced that this is all there is involved in determining the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Others are inclined to consider this sin to be the continued and the deliberate repudiation and rejection of the testimony of the Spirit, remaining in open rebellion and disobedience against the Spirit until overtaken by death. Well, this is a view that many hold, but it also has certain problems with it. Jesus said that whoever spoke against him would be forgiven. Of course, this assumes that conditions are met. But to speak against the Spirit, it would not be forgiven. Now, blasphemy does involve speaking against the Spirit. Just what reason that there is speaking against Christ should be less fatal than speaking against another member of the Godhead is not made clear, not to me. There were those who spoke against Christ during his earthly ministry, but who were offered an opportunity to accept Christ and be saved, beginning at Pentecost, because of the gospel that the Holy Spirit delivered through the apostles. In fact, it is reasonable to think that some who even attributed the working of miracles to Christ, to the devil, rather than the Holy Spirit, heard that same offer. Some who were urged to accept Christ during his ministry refused. But when the message of the gospel delivered by the Holy Spirit was preached, they had opportunity to obey. Now, if they rejected that message, where else could they turn for salvation? The only way you can be sure you will never be forgiven of sin is to turn down the word the Holy Spirit has given regarding Christ and his will. That will certainly ascertain your condemnation. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16. To reject the Spirit-given gospel is spiritually fatal. And only by accepting it can one be saved and eventually see heaven. Friend, this seems to me to be a more consistent view of what this sin involves. It is to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. To sin against the Spirit in any of the above ways is to erect a barrier between ourselves and our goal of heaven. Rather than sinning against the Spirit, we should open our hearts to the word that the Spirit has given in all things. Receive him as we receive the truth he has delivered, and that is now embodied in the Scriptures. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.